Welcome to the Scuffed Podcast. I'm Adam Bells in Minneapolis. With me is Greg Velasquez in Des Moines. We talk about U.S. men's soccer. Hey, everyone. The U.S. lost 2-1 to Ukraine earlier today in the opening match of their group stage at the U20 World Cup. Joining me to break it down in all its agony is Matthew Hartman, great friend of the podcast. Matt, how are you?
I was better a few hours ago, if we're being honest, Bells.
Were you better a few hours ago? Because I was a nervous wreck a few hours ago, and now I'm just disappointed. I guess it's better to be nervous than disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't too optimistic coming into the game. I thought that a draw was the likely result, but having a loss as the first game in a World Cup is always a bummer, you know?
Yeah, it is a bummer. And we got to shout out Travis Clark. We did some predictions on the Slack, and he predicted 2-1 Ukraine, so he gets all the marbles.
Congrats, Travis.
Yes.
You're a winner today.
Okay, so let's talk about the lineup first. The USA came out with Brady Scott at goalkeeper, a back line from right to left of Dest, Richards, Abubakar Keita, and Chris Gloucester. Durkin was the holding mid with Cervenia kind of ahead of him, and then Alex Mendez, and then a front line of from right to left, Conrad De La Fuente, Wea at striker, and Paxton Pomacall on the left, although that was pretty fluid, who was playing on the wing and who was playing at the nine throughout the game. What was your reaction to the lineup when you saw it?
Most of the lineup was as I expected. I was concerned by Keita and the inclusion of Cervenia. Thought that going into the game with two defensive midfielders was unnecessary, since Ukraine's game is more about bypassing the midfield and playing super direct on the counter. So you're taking attacking firepower off the field for what I thought was unnecessary defensive cover by having Cervenia on the field. And then if you're going to have two defensive midfielders, I would have rather have seen Cerillo instead of Cervenia. So I wasn't thrilled with the lineup, but I thought that it could get the job done for sure.
Yeah. Just so for those of you not following this closely, Cerillo and Cervenia are both FC Dallas players. And Cerillo is a starter for FC Dallas' first team. Cervenia has been playing, I think, exclusively with North Texas SC. He maybe made an appearance with FC Dallas. So that's, just on paper, that's kind of a head-scratcher to start Cervenia over Cerillo. But Cervenia has more experience with this group. He was a high performer in November World Cup qualifying. So I can sort of see that. I was worried about Keita because he's also playing at a pretty low level with the Richmond Kickers in USL League One, which is the third tier of American soccer. He wasn't too bad though. I mean, he wasn't the problem today, in my opinion.
No, totally. I thought that he had a pretty good game. We don't know why it was that he is starting exactly. It might've been that McKenzie is still hurt, which I guess is the likely situation. But in that case, it'd be a little weird to give him the captain's armband before the tournament started, if you don't know when exactly he's going to be back to full fitness. And I mean, it is, I think, possible that Tab just wanted a taller player in there, given that Ukraine was always going to be most dangerous, I think, from set pieces and balls over the top. And Keita is a good few inches taller than McKenzie is. Yeah. But I guess we'll never know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess McKenzie's the captain in spirit for the World Cup. But I guess we'll see if he plays against Nigeria, which is on Monday, and that has become a game where we must get some kind of result. I guess we could make it through with if Qatar loses all their games and we beat them by a lot of goals in our last game of the group, even if we lose to Nigeria. But
right, I think that with three teams going through, 3 points is sometimes enough to get through out of third place, and then a fourth place makes it out the majority of the time. But these two games should be wins. These two last games should be wins from the U.S., I think.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's get into the game. But before we do that, we have a sponsor. awaydaysfootball.com. They'll be familiar to you if you listen to the Total Soccer Show, and we're proud to have them as our first sponsor on the Scuff Podcast. It's an independent soccer clothing brand based in Boston, high-quality products, very cool company. They do several different things if you click around that website, but the hook is their mystery kits, which work like this. You go to awaydaysfootball.com, spelled just like it sounds, you pay $25, you pick your jersey size, and a few days later, you receive an official club jersey in your size from somewhere in the world. You don't know where or what club until you open the package. It's a mystery. Look, I find soccer can be a natural way to explore the world. For example, the U-20s played Ukraine today at City Stadium in Bielsko-Biala, and I found it interesting to look up the stadium, figure out which clubs play there, click around on Google Maps to see where the stadium is situated in the city. I do that kind of stuff all the time. Do you ever do that kind of stuff, Matt?
Yeah, from time to time.
Yeah, I think we all do. So I think of the Away Days mystery kit like that, except much better, because you get an actual jersey. The jerseys you get are typically from lesser-known clubs. There are no Premier League teams or giant clubs like Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern, etc. So you will be getting a pretty unique jersey. Some customers use it as a way to start following teams they wouldn't have otherwise. You can even tell Away Days which teams or leagues you would like to avoid, so you don't get a club you hate or one that is rivals with a club you already support.
Or one from Ukraine, perhaps.
Yeah, no clubs. I don't think they have any clubs from Ukraine. I know they don't have any clubs from Poland. So, yeah, well, you can avoid that. So $25 is already a good price for a jersey from a major brand, but all of our listeners will get a discount code to make the price even better. Use the code SCUFFED, S-C-U-F-F-E-D, to receive 15% off your entire order with awaydaysfootball.com. That code is SCUFFED. Check out the website. There's plenty of other interesting stuff there in addition to the mystery kits. Now, let's get into the game. You want to sort of kick us off here, Matt? How did the game begin, and how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, so the game started pretty well, I thought, for the U.S., Ukraine came out and was willing to concede possession to us. There was a lot of interplay in our midfield and our front line, particularly between Mendes and Pomacal, who really were switched positions a lot in those early minutes. And the team looked pretty good. I was worried a little bit about, you know, some of these players haven't really been playing high quality games recently.
Yeah.
And we are introducing Keita and Conrad into the team with the full U-20 roster that we had in a CONCACAF qualifying. So I was a little worried about how we'd start. And I thought the start was as good as you could have hoped for, with the exception of we didn't get a goal.
Yeah. You know, the thing that really impressed me right from the beginning was Chris Richards was dominating Vladislav Supriaha. I mean, there were like three or four times where he just manhandled him. And I felt like the message was sent. You're not going to score on the counter. You know, that's what you and I both feared, is Supriaha on the counter. And that, like, even though we ended up losing the game, that never happened. I mean, he could never get going. And I thought Chris Richards had a lot to do with that.
Yeah. The first or second time Supriaha made a run forward, Richards just put him on the ground. And, you know, it kind of looked like Supriaha was looking for the call, and knew from that point on that, you know, this isn't easy. This is a player right here that I have to worry about getting past.
Yeah. I loved that from Richards. And, you know, aside from one moment, he had a really good game. So we couldn't penetrate and really create danger. Why not? Why couldn't we? What was going on? Just Ukraine's defense was too good?
Well, I think that there were a couple of misplaced passes that some players would like to have back. Servania was a little nervy early. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, you know, Ukraine's a very hard team to break down. You know, like England and France could just barely do it in UEFA qualifying, and neither of those teams got a result. 3 points off of this Ukrainian team.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be something where you're going to have to be patient. 20 minutes of good soccer isn't enough, really, to 25 minutes or whatever it was before Ukraine got theirs wasn't enough. of poking at them to really break them down. And yeah, I think that again, you could look at the midfield and say that instead of Durkin or Servania, if you have a more attacking minded player, maybe one of those combinations comes off.
Yeah. I didn't, I restrained myself from putting a lineup, a projected lineup up before the game, but I do have it. I do have the JPEG on my computer where I wanted to see Cirio at the six, and then I wanted to see Ledesma next to Mendez, and I guess maybe Pomacall out wide would have been fine with me, but I was thinking Weah out wide, Soto up top, and Conrad De La Fuente on the right. But basically what I'm saying is I think I would have liked to see Ledesma in this game in place of Cervinha. I don't think Cervinha offered a ton defensively. Maybe you already mentioned that. And Ledesma is a much cleaner, much more creative, much more precise attacking player. It would have been, especially when they're, like you said, bypassing the midfield in their attack. And we're just trying to break somebody down, knocking the ball around in their half for what, 60% of this game is that's what
Right.
was going on.
Yeah. So
It
I
doesn't.
mean, Servania is the one that is just such a question mark as to why he started. I don't understand why he's in there over Cirio in the first place. And then as you went later into the game, you really saw him start to stay forward in a way that, like, I don't why is Servania the player on the field if he's not going to come back and play defense? And the like, in the last 15 or so minutes before he came off the field, he was jogging back as Ukraine was countering. I don't understand it.
Yeah. Nor do I. Well, in this catalog of grief, let's start with the Ukraine goal. I'll describe it. Zaitsashvili was sort of dribbling away from goal. He had Gloster on his back and he played a pass back to one of the center backs. Can't remember which one. Gloster dropped off to go back to play left back to his position, and Zaitsashvili sort of moved into the middle of the field, received a quick return pass, and just had a lot of room and played what I would have generally consider a harmless ball, lofted ball over the back line. And Sergiño Dest just got it all wrong, got turned around, and Bulleza is in behind for a golden chance. Bulleza finishes, admirably with the left foot. I think Brady Scott maybe could have done better. He offered very little resistance. But in any case, Dest deserves most of the blame here. Just a soft goal to concede. Deeply frustrating. And Dest had a few other moments of defensive softness that were pretty troubling too.
Yeah, I'm not sure what exactly Dest is doing on the goal. The ball, like you said, it was a ball that you need a fullback to deal with. It lofted. It was Dest had eyes on the ball, and he decides to go up for it and try to beat it's Bulleza, something like that, right?
Bulleza.
Bulleza. He tries to beat Bulleza in the air when, I mean, there's no reason to. Dest can just step around him and get between him and the goal, and he goes up for it. It was never a ball he was going to win. Bulleza takes the ball down well, and the rest is history. I don't and the the rest of the game, he was, like you said, he was on uneven footing too. He never looked comfortable defending.
Yeah, that's a troubling thing because, he does offer so much going forward, and we'll talk about that with the goal. And there were other instances where he can unbalance a defense, but if he can't defend, and he sure wasn't reliable defensively today, I don't know. It's not good. And it's crazy to think that Tab didn't even bring a backup right back originally on this roster. It was just Dest.
Yeah, if I mean, it stinks for Iwobi and all that he's not on this team. But after today's game, you have to be like, thank God, thank God we have a backup right back on this team. Because if this game happened as it happened today, and we don't have Julian Araujo backing him up, you're looking at the rest of this tournament, like maybe not the next two group games, as they're certainly not walkovers, but you could get out of these games. But if you have to come up against a team where you're that is better attacking than Ukraine, like that becomes a huge question mark.
Yeah, right. It does. Okay. So the U.S. responded well. Why don't you talk about the next little phase of the game and the goal?
Yeah, so the U.S. did respond well to the goal. We maintained possession, passed the ball around well. There were a couple of times where Ukraine stepped up and tried to win the ball back, and we stayed calm and composed and had our composure. And in the 32nd minute, only a few minutes after their goal, Konrad and Dest combined up the right-hand side. Dest found Cervania centrally, who one-touched it to Pomykal. Pomykal laid the ball off back to Dest, who followed the ball inside after starting the play out wide. He played a ball across the box, which was a little too wide for Weah, but Weah was able to reach it, and despite not getting his feet set to really get a handle on the ball, he pulled his body around it and delivered a crisp ball that Cervania was able to tap in.
Yeah. So we're talking all this crap about Cervania, but he's the hero.
Tucks it that always one in. Seems to work that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not a difficult finish, but it's, you know, somebody has to put the ball in the back of the net, and he tucked it in.
Right. And he's in that spot, you know, that's more so than the finish is the big thing for him to have the awareness to know that that ball can come back into the middle and that he should be sitting in that spot, which is awareness that I would have wished Timmy Weah had later in the game.
Yeah. I watched that clip back, and it is a little mystifying why one of the Ukrainian center backs didn't recognize the danger that Cervania posed in that spot. I guess it was a little bit surprising that Weah just turned and whipped that in. But the defending there was questionable from Ukraine. He was just sort of allowed to drift right into the six, unmarked and onside.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, so will I. So so it's 1-1 at that point, and I thought the U.S. played pretty well for the remainder of the first half. There was that that Mendez strike from about 30 yards that forced a nice parry from Lunin, the Ukrainian goalkeeper, down to his left, and but we didn't score, and we went into halftime 1-1.
Right. You know, the start of the second half wasn't as good as we ended the first, and it was something that we have kind of seen recently in another U.S. game, the U-17 game against Mexico, where you came out for the second half and you're like, okay, this is going to be a more even game than the first half was.
Yeah.
But I think we were still, I guess you could say, on the front foot, even though we didn't have the same amount of possession and certainly weren't as dangerous in the Ukrainian final third as we were in the first half.
No. Yeah. I mean, Ukraine came out and took the game to us a little bit more in the second half. They pressed a little higher. They won some corner kicks. They were in our attacking third much more in the first 10 minutes of the second half than at any other point in the game. And I don't know if that was a, you know, deliberate choice by their coach, like, hey, let's go out and try to get this winner right now and then, you know, fall back into our shell. But that is how it happened. And
yeah.
The goal comes on a corner kick. It's a set piece, obviously. The goal comes on a corner kick, driven ball, you know, maybe about 8 yards out. And Denis Popov, their big center back, hits a glancing header. Brady Scott's rooted to the spot. He doesn't even move, and it's 2-1. Was Richards the one marking Popov there?
Yeah, he was, and you could tell on the replay, because as soon as the ball goes in the back of the net, there are 10 U.S. players on the field staring directly at Chris Richards, and Richards is puts his hands up, you know, shrugs like, you know, my bad, guys. It was his fault, and watching the replay back, it looked a little bit like Richards kept his eye on on Popov, his man, and just didn't realize the ball was coming in and responded a step late to the ball and wasn't able to get in the air to prevent Popov from getting the header on target.
Yeah, he was a couple steps behind, which is too bad because he did have a really good game otherwise.
But yeah, I'd agree.
But this you know, losing on a set piece and a defensive error, that's kind of what we were afraid of, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Getting back to what our expectations were coming into the game, I expected the game to be really tough, and it's not necessarily because I think that Ukraine is better or even at our talent level, to be honest, but they've been through a truly difficult international tournament coming into this one. They've been through the Euros. They've played some of the best U20 teams in the world, and the little situations where players turn off or they're not aware, like even for a player like Richards, who is generally supremely aware.
Yeah.
You know, you just, if you haven't played a game at this intensity before, you could turn off. It happens.
Yeah. And it appears he did. And, you know, from that point on, it never really looked like we were seriously going to threaten to score. There was in the 76th minute, Alex Mendes hit a one-time shot off the near post. He was fed by Pomacall from the left wing. It was a really nice hit. That was the closest we got. And there was also earlier than that, there was a Conrad De La Fuente ball pulled back across from the right wing. A beautiful pass, but there was nobody there. There was nobody filling the box to get on that ball. And then you see Timmy Weah running in screen left. And I'm thinking, like, where are you, Timmy?
Yeah, where in the world was he on that play? I have no idea. It's almost as if Weah just he accepted that the ball wasn't going to come in. I don't understand. Like, he was just, you know, getting ready. Maybe he's played too many good teams where he's had with the U.S. men's national team where he's basically had to be a left back, but that he sees somebody over in that corner and he's like, well, that's going to be a turnover. Let me go run back to defend. And he just completely forgot that he's a goal scorer. And had he put himself at the back post, he has a tap in.
Yeah. That was frustrating because he should have been there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the second half from the rest of the team just wasn't as clean as the first half. Cervania basically disappeared. Pomacall had his moments, but got a little too dribbly sometimes and just ended up looking for a foul from the referee. And Mendes had moments. He's always going to have moments, like the shot he had off that went off the post, but he just wasn't involved enough as the game went later. And when he did get involved, he turned the ball over a little too much,
yeah,
which isn't great from him, especially if he's just not a player that is going to offer a ton defensively, it looks like, against the team with the athleticism as of Ukraine. But, and if you're wearing that number 8 shirt, I want a little bit more from you than what he gave us
defensively, you mean?
Or yeah absolutely,
yeah,
defensively.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty soft defensively, and when he's not getting on the ball, and then when he is getting on the ball and turning it over a little bit, it's not great. I mean, it's hard to, you can't really put this, he's not the first problem to bring up, because he did, you know, he did generate some magic, and I don't know, I wonder if those 30 yarders are gonna ever go in against, you know, a goalkeeper of like a Lunin's caliber, you know. I kind of wonder. I mean, occasionally they will, but
right. So it wasn't his best game, but like you said, not anything that you could blame on him.
What's your assessment of Weah?
Well, certainly not Weah's best game. he did well on the goal. You have to give him that, and he was running around early in the game, you know, really giving the Ukrainian center backs a lot to think about. But really, as the game went on, he couldn't get involved. And then when he was involved, it was heavy touch or a misplaced pass. What, like, for the player who was in the conversation to be in the men's national team Gold Cup roster, you sent him down here and you think that he's going to be one of the difference makers, and he just couldn't, it didn't happen today, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would contend there's not that big of a gap between the guys on our Gold Cup roster and the, and yeah, this, but
fair enough.
But yeah, he didn't really work as a nine against a low block. You know, there was just no room for him to run in behind.
Which is his best asset as a number nine.
Right. And even when there was room to run in behind, the passes didn't connect, or his first touch wasn't precise enough to give him, you know, space to do something. And then he ended up moving out to the wing a lot. And then we had Pomacall as the sort of a false nine for big stretches of the game. I don't know. It just didn't look like there was much of a real plan to attack. Did it to you?
Yeah, it didn't, because, and I think a lot of that is because Ukraine's, for the most part, is going to have seven guys behind the ball. You know, they're the five defenders and then the two central midfielders. And Durkin had a fine game. I don't think you could blame too much on him, but he's not a player that's going to, his main attribute is his distribution, you know, especially like on breaks and stuff, to put the ball over the top. He's not the type of player that's going to have an insane game against a low block like Ukraine. And Cervania didn't offer too much in possession either. So you really have Alex Mendez, Wea, De La Fuente, and Pomacall to break down this Ukrainian back line. And against Panama or even a Mexico, that could work. But this Ukrainian team is really good defensively. Mm. And, you know, we needed more firepower on the field.
Yeah. Ledesma would have been one possible answer.
Right. How much would you have lost defensively in this game if Ledesma is on the field against instead of Cervania? That's the question I guess I'd have. If it's Cerillo that's on the field instead of Cervania and he's the deepest midfielder, I guess it's another question. But I don't think you would have lost that much defensively if you had Ledesma on the field instead of Cervania.
Yeah.
Or drop Mendez back and have Pomacall and Mendez in midfield, then move way out wide and have an actual number nine on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. Either of those I think would have been better. And I, you know, as is indicated by the fact that I would have played Saria over Durkin, and I would do the same against Nigeria. Not that Durkin was so terrible today, but I'm selling a little bit of my stock in Durkin, I guess. I've been doing that over the last couple months, and not because he's a bad player, but he's not fast enough to be a difference-making sort of defensive midfielder. And I think his, you know, even though he can hit that 40-yard diagonal in a way that, you know, in a way that's very reminiscent of Trapp and Bradley, I don't know that his decision-making on the ball is fast enough to, you know, for him to like carry this mantle of high quality distributor. And I don't know.
I definitely see where you're coming from on that. If we're running the game back, you know, I think it's definitely Cerillo as a lone six and you have attacking firepower on the field. But I still like Durkin as a player. He's not a player that's going to thrive against a team the way that Ukraine played. You know, I think that's what it comes down to.
You think he's better against like a high press, breaking that press?
I think he's better against a team that is, you know, going to throw more numbers forward. You could let Durkin get planted at the top of the box and, you know, maybe cut out a pass or make a play defensively, and then he's on the ball with numbers going forward, and he can make one of those passes that it doesn't, you know, not necessarily a 40-yard over the top perfect ball, but he could make the pass into a player like Mendez or Pomacall that springs the attack, where those players then only have a couple players to beat.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, fair enough. Let's see, who else do we need to talk about? I guess Sebastian Soto came on for maybe the last 20 minutes or so, and Weah did move out to the left wing. Soto didn't have any more success than Weah did. I thought he was a little loose with his touches, and he did get that one left-footed shot on frame, but it didn't trouble Lunin too much.
Yeah, he hit it nice and quickly, but it just wasn't placed well enough to ever trouble a keeper of Lunin's caliber. You know, maybe if he's on the field longer than that and he has a chance to really acclimate to the game, then it's a shot that he hits better. But I don't even think Soto is really a player that thrives in a role off the bench. You know, I think he's a player you need to get into the game, get comfortable combining with teammates, and then he can slip in behind one of those times or get on the ball in the box and turn. I think if you're going to play him and Timmy Weah at the nine, then maybe start Soto and bring Weah's pace off the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Renix came on at right wing and, you know, this didn't have enough time to really make an impact on the game. The game was pretty much killed by then anyway, but that was a little bit mystifying to me. Like, why not bring on Ulianes who has the ability to create goals
exactly
from the wing. Yeah.
Justin Renix is a good player, and it was a little surprising to see him in the team, but you understand it. He's not a player that you bring on with 10 minutes or however long it was left in the game. Like, at that point, you want a player that you can bring on and can produce a moment of individual brilliance, in my opinion.
Yeah, and me too.
That's not Renix. That's Ledesma.
Yeah, Ledesma or Giannis. I think Giannis. So I don't know. Tab gave a quick interview after the game, said he was pleased with the effort, yada yada yada, and he thought the boys played pretty well and got beat on a set piece, which, you know, frankly is true. But
yeah, they did.
The beat on a set piece part is true, just to be clear.
Yeah, definitely. And there are players that had good games that we haven't really touched on too much. Like, I thought Gloucester had a really good game before he came off.
Yeah.
With the injury, hopefully that injury is not too bad and he can play in the next two games, because I think that he is a player that we need if we're going to go far in this tournament. And I thought Conrad De La Fuente had a pretty good game.
Yeah, he started off slow. Didn't look good, I thought, in the first 20 minutes or so, but then he got involved in that first goal. And from then on, I think it's fair to say he was the one, a lot of the danger was coming through him on the right side. It certainly wasn't coming through our left side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now some of that has to do with Dest, who, despite his defensive deficiencies today, does project well into the attack.
Right. The two or three most dangerous moments we had in the game, outside of when Alex Mendez did something by himself, what were Dest and Conrad combining down that right-hand side.
Yeah. Well, let's look ahead to, hopefully Gloucester's injury isn't too bad. If he's out now, what do you think we should do with the back line looking ahead to Nigeria?
Right. So I guess the most obvious thing to do would be to just one for one replacement. Well, it's not a one for one replacement, but position for position replacement. And Matt Real, who is the backup left back on the roster, if you're looking at to put him in a position, but like just behind a player in a position, but there is another option, right? In bringing Dest over to that left-hand side and starting Julian Araujo, which, I mean, playing Dest on the left-hand side in a position that he's not as comfortable in defensively is going to be a small issue, perhaps, given that it was an issue today on his dominant side. But I think that we'd both agree that if you could get Araujo on the field ahead of Matt Real, you have more talented soccer players out there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I would say, I don't know that Dest is like, I don't agree with everybody on the internet who's saying like Dest is a terrible defender, period. I don't think that's true. I think he had one really big mental lapse where he made the wrong choice, you know, trying to go up and win that header. And then he had a couple times where he looked like he was on skates. I think if he comes in, if he goes over to left back, maybe that sort of brings a little more solidity to his game defensively, because he knows he's out of position. He knows he has to focus on just like, let's not let the Nigerian winger beat me today.
Right.
And I think it would be nice to see Araujo out there. I mean, yeah, I know I'm sort of developing a reputation as a Julian Araujo stan.
Right. No, I'd agree with you in that. Like, I don't see any reason to throw your Dest stock in the fire or anything like that. I think if you look at the way he played today defensively, it was very Yedlin-esque in that he looked like he was defending on skates, and he individual error, especially an individual error on a ball that's lofted in, is a very Yedlin thing. Yeah. But even today, Dest offers more going forwards than Yedlin does, and Yedlin has been a starting right back for the men's national team for what, the last 4 years. So there's no reason to think that he's not a player that can make it with the national team.
Right. Yeah. Now Nigeria crushed Qatar earlier today, 4-0. I think it was, I wasn't able to watch all of it in an unbroken stretch, but from what I could tell, they looked pretty good, but not invincible. I thought, you know, Qatar had some chances to score. They found some joy in the attack. They just could never really get it done. Is that what you saw? Did you watch the whole game?
Yeah, I had that and the New Zealand Honduras game on at the same time, and I was keeping an eye on both of them. But how I read the game was that both defenses are very pretty, let's say pretty vulnerable. One more, way more so than the other, but Nigeria realized early on that they just can't, like these Qatari kids just can't stay with them, and they're a talented team going forward. Qatar, they deserved a goal, and they could have made it a closer game if the attacking options took their chances, but
right.
They're a disaster at the back. That you get one of those defenders 1v1, and Conrad or Yanez, whoever it is, Pomical, is going to be able to get past them. Their option was what they did, though, basically, was when they had, what's the name of that the Nigerian left winger, or is he a left back? I don't know, the one that was really involved in
Ikuem Uten, the left back. Yeah.
Right. So when he got forward, he just ate the Qatari right back for lunch every time. It was a step over and he's passed and type deal. So Qatar has talent on the field, but they are not going to be able to prevent us from scoring multiple times.
Yeah. Well, let's hope. Yeah. So Uten got the assist on both of the first two goals, I think, coming from left back. So that'll be, you know, a good chance for Julian Araujo to show how good of a defender he is. But maybe a game with Nigeria, a team that gets forward mm-hmm. more, and the game will be a little more open, will suit us better.
Yeah, they definitely they throw numbers forward, and obviously very physically gifted. A couple of them very technically gifted as well, but. The Qatari midfield was able to pass through them sometimes.
Yeah.
So when you look at our midfield, I think it's fair to say they're probably a little bit more developed, especially in combination. So it's not looking at both of the next two games, I feel comfortable, way more comfortable I did going into the Ukraine game, but you know, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so what would be your starting lineup outside of the assuming Gloucester's injured? Would you like to see Dest at left back and Araujo at right back? I mean, that's what I would like to see.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on it, so I'll go to you. I haven't seen Dest play on the left too much.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't. Do we lose? How much are we losing in terms of Dest's ability going forward with him on the left?
I don't know. I don't know. Some, but he's played there for the Ajax U19s some fairly frequently, I think, even in UEFA Champions League. You know, UEFA Youth League, I should say. But probably we're losing something. We're probably losing something with him on the left.
Right. I can't see it happening if we're talking about what Tab's going to do. I think it's going to be Real on the left-hand side. I'll go with it too, I guess, because I don't feel that strongly about Dest on the left-hand side.
Okay, yeah. I mean, to a certain extent, what I would like to see is irrelevant. We probably will see Real at left-back if Gloucester is not fit. And then most likely Dest at right back, and then maybe we'll see McKenzie. Maybe McKenzie will be healthy for the Nigeria game, and we'll have a McKenzie Richards center back partnership. Any chance Scott gets dropped based on today's performance?
Yeah, I saw some people talking that maybe, you know, you can't fault them for either goal, but he maybe could have done better on the first two, on both of the goals. I think that he could have done better on the first goal. You know, goalkeeper should never really get beat near post. But I don't think there's too much he could have done about the second. He certainly could have got closer to it, but it would have been a great save. They both would have been pretty good saves. You know, you can't really get too upset at a goalkeeper who lets a free header in and a 1v1 with a pretty good attacking player. I think the questions you have of Scott were, there were some questionable moments of him handling the ball, but he did make a good save towards the end.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that sort of snap header from Supriaha.
Right. Yeah, I think it's still Scott. So.
Yeah, it probably still will be him. I guess on the second goal, even though I know that there's probably no way he can get to that, just the fact that he doesn't even move, there's something discouraging about that.
You know? Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Okay, moving into the midfield, we're going to see Durkin start again?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that after today, you give him a rest and you let Cirio play that spot. If we were going to play a game with two midfielders, I think this would be the game to do it, with two defensive midfielders, I mean. So if it's Durkin next to Cirio, I'm okay with it, even if it's not what I do. But yeah, what I would like to see in the midfield is Cirio with Mendes and Pomichael in front of him.
Okay. All right. So no Ledesma again. I'm gonna wear sackcloth.
I mean, getting to the forward line, I want Conrad on the right again, and Wea on the left, and then a striker up top. But Ledesma could be the first player off the bench at multiple of those spots, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. It'll be a bummer if this whole tournament goes by, we don't get to see Ledesma or Giannis play more than like 15 minutes. And if we don't, you know, if we don't get a result against Nigeria, then, you know, chances for playing time are going to be potentially crimped dramatically. Okay, so you're thinking Cirio, Pomichael, and Mendes, and then Wea on the left, Conrad on the right, and Soto up top, or Renix?
Yeah, I'll take Soto up top.
Okay. All right. I think I would we've already talked about the back line, my view on the back line. I guess I would say I'd like to see Cirio, maybe Pomichael and Ledesma, or Mendes and Ledesma. Either way would work for me. I just want Ledesma in there. And then Giannis on the right. Let's give Wea a break. And Conrad on the right. Giannis on the left, Conrad on the right, Soto up top. Bring Wea and Mendes in off the bench if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess what it comes down, I like that team as well. I guess what it comes down to is I can't see Wea choosing to be with this team and it being made a big deal of that, you know, he could have gone potentially to the Gold Cup and he chose to come here instead to help this team do something, and then he gets benched in the second game. You know,
it's highly unlikely, but he didn't play very well. He didn't create any danger other than the assist And, you know, he should have been on the back post for that Conrad De La Fuente ball. I've never been as high on Weah as a lot of people. And I felt somewhat vindicated in that today. I've never been as high on, I'll take a little L on this. I've never been as high on Conrad as everybody else. And, he did play well, like you said, starting with that, his involvement in that goal.
He's a bit of a limited player in that he doesn't really have he doesn't have a terrific left foot. You saw the one time that he found his way to the left side of the field in the game early on, and he went to deliver a left-footed cross. I don't even know where that ball landed.
Yeah, it never landed. It's still there.
Right, so you play him on the right side, and he's a very predictable. He wants to get to the end line, deliver that cross in, or maybe beat you inside and keep dribbling at goal. But he does that really well.
Yeah,
and he could combine to boot. So,
all right. I don't know. Is there anything else we should talk about, or should we just, go into mourning for 3 days?
Well, definitely going into mourning for 3 days. Don't expect me to be in the dark web Slack chat or on Twitter too much. You know, go lick my wounds.
I'm going camping tomorrow. So
yeah, sounds I'm going good. Take me with you. Yeah. I guess the only question I'd have for you coming out of this game is how much of this performance do you personally put on Tab? Do you think that Tab's at all responsible for the way that this game was played by putting out the lineup he put out and then subbing on Renix at the end of the game? A substitution that I don't really understand.
Yeah, well, I didn't understand the Renix substitution. I still don't. I do think the game was over by then. You know, it felt over, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have any chances in the last like 15 or so minutes, really. So I guess, but yeah. You know, Ledesma could have potentially changed that. Giannis could have potentially changed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think Renix was ever going to change that.
No, I agree. Yeah. So as we talk about it, I think Tab should not have put Renix in. He should have put Ledesma or Giannis in at the end, somebody with more magic in their pockets. And, yeah, I think the lineup, particularly the starting of Cervenia and the way Pomacall was sort of out on the wing or at the false nine instead of in the middle where he has more, more ability to influence the game. The fact that we didn't really have a real striker in the game. I know everybody wants Weah to be the nine of the future, but he just looks more comfortable on the wing, at least in a game like this. So all of those things, made the game more difficult. Like you said, the game was always going to be difficult, and Ukraine is well organized. They're tough. They're tougher than we are. They're savvier than we are, and those things became clear as the game went on. But Tab made it harder than it needed to be. I would say that. Don't you think?
Yeah, I basically concur with everything you've just said. It's a little disappointing, but hopefully in a couple of weeks this will be the game we talk about. Oh, remember when we almost didn't win the U-20 World Cup? Yeah. So, things can be forgotten quickly.
Oh man, that ray of sunshine is so welcome here at the end of the podcast. Okay. Well, have a good weekend, Matt. Thank you to Away Days Football for being our first sponsor. Thank you, Matt Hartman, for joining me. Thank you to all of you who are listening. We'll see you.